When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Well, my goodness, I got the Friday night football game on, and as Inside Sports starts, who is the close-up of? None other than Chris Jones, the defensive consultant for the Toronto Argos, which, of course, leads me to say, Ken Dial. Early in the second quarter, it is the Argos leading Montreal 7-0. Game's in Toronto. Montreal trying to drive here. They get a first down to the Toronto 20. We will keep you updated on that game later on tonight. A popular little team known as the Saskatchewan Roughriders will visit Michael Riley and the BC Lions. Both those teams are 4-2. I'm going to tell you something right now. The BC Lions are not actually that good. They've beaten Ottawa a couple times. Saskatchewan will win that game tonight. And I'm actually going to say Saskatchewan will win that game fairly comfortably. How about that? And no, I'm not just pandering to all the Rider fans out there. I know there's a couple of them, and sometimes you might listen to Inside Sports. That's the game coming up a little bit later on tonight. Baseball this evening. It is the Yankees 6, the Red Sox nothing. That's in the top of the third. And the Blue Jays are just getting going against the Minnesota Twins. Wild card, Boston is 2 up on the Yankees. Yankees 1 up on Toronto. So right now, the Blue Jays out of a playoff spot. The Oilers continuing training camp today. We have several storylines to jump into tonight. I can tell you that the Oilers visit Calgary for their preseason opener on Sunday. It's on 6:30, Jed. 5:30 for the face-off show. The game will start at 7. Tuesday, the Oilers are home to the Seattle Kraken, and we will have some Kraken talk. That's the first time I've used that phrase, and I realized how kind of silly it sounds. Does it sound silly? I don't know. It sounded a little off. We're going to have some Kraken talk. We're going to talk Kraken. We're going to have a Kraken conversation. Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit about the Seattle Kraken later on. Now, I want to remind you, on Tuesday, we have the Oilers and the Kraken on 6:30, Chet, 5:30 face-off show, game at 7. The Elks, who got back on the practice field today, we'll have some clips from them. The Elks and the Red Blacks are Tuesday on Kissin' Country 103.9, 4:30 for the face-off, not the face-off show, the countdown to kickoff, and 5:30 for the start of the game. So those are some of the details there. Hey, hope you're doing well. It's 10 after 6. Reed Wilkins with you. You can always get in touch. You can email insidesports at 630ched.com. Follow me on Twitter at Reed Wilkins, R-E-I-D-W-I-L-K-I-N-S. I am in the running for the most boring account on Twitter. I believe I'm in the final five for that. We'll see if I actually get the award. And, of course, texting or calling the hotline presented by CertainTeed Professional-Grade Building Materials, 780-496-0063. Bob Stauffer's going to hop on the show, too. U of A football ready to go tomorrow. Chris Morris will be on the show. The big rugby sevens weekend at Commonwealth. That is such a fun, action-packed sport. We'll have the captain of the Canadiens men's team. And I believe we're going to name the animal a little bit later on tonight, which is always something to look forward to. Okay, so look, the Oilers rolling here. They had a scrimmage today as Montreal gets a touchdown against the Argos. They had a scrimmage today, so they still have over 50 players in camp. So they have two groups. They practice at the same time. One group was in Rogers Place. The other group was in the downtown community arena. And then they came together at Rogers Place for a scrimmage. Two 20-minute periods. Now, here's the thing. Some of the more prominent players did not take part in the scrimmage. Those included Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, Jesse Puljujärvi, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. The guys I've referred to as the Oilers' top five forwards did not take part in the scrimmage today. Kyler Yamamoto played on a line with Derek Ryan and Warren Fogle. Yamamoto scored twice, one into an empty net. He also scored the first goal of the game, glove high on Mike Smith to open the scoring in what turned out to be a 5-2 win for Team Blue, which featured Yamamoto, and Tyler Benson got a goal. He was pretty involved in the play as well, and he's one of the players we'll talk about tonight. But we will start with the two stars. We'll talk with the two guys who are really the engine of the team, and of course that is Draisaitl and McDavid. And maybe sometimes a little too much is relied on them for them to be the engine of the team and provide all the power as it goes along. But Dave Tippett said today, hey, when you got these two driven star players, baby, they want to be the alpha dogs.
They're great friends, but they also drive each other. And that's and the work ethic and the ability to help the team win. And, you know, great players like that, they take the responsibility for winning. They take the responsibility, and that's why sometimes I feel like we've used them too much at times, and it's because they want to do it. You know, they're looking at you like, hey, this is hard. This is going to be, we need somebody to make sure this gets done, and they're looking at you going, hey, put me out there to get the job done. You know, so they take that responsibility, but they do drive each other. They expect to be in... you know, they understand their role on our team, and they have to be good for our team to be good. That being said, we think we can get stronger around them, but they certainly take the responsibility that they put on themselves to be a good team.
Well, I think there's a few things to look into there, and I think we can say this about team sports in general. The best players know they're the best players. They're used to being the person on the ice when the game is on the line. You know, Michael Jordan wanted the last shot. Joe Montana wanted to be driving the ball late in the game to get the win. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl want to be on the ice in the big situations for the Oilers. Now, of course, part of Edmonton's problem is that they haven't really had a lot of other options to put on the ice in those situations. We have seen games in the past. The Oilers are down late in the third period. They pull the goalie with 2.5 minutes left. Draisaitl and McDavid got to play the entire 2.5 minutes. I mean, Draisaitl played the final 4 minutes of a game this season. So, yes, you're going to lean on those guys. They want the responsibility. I think almost any coach would use the heck out of them. But there has to be some other options along the way. And I was talking about this a few days ago, and I referenced, you know, speaking to a former NHLer about this last season. The Oilers are protecting a one-goal lead in a game. Well, usually the players on the ice in that situation were Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, and it was often Josh Archibald getting that other spot, who once again, of course, didn't practice today. He just came out of quarantine. He skated before the main group of practice. We'll see when he's available. So we've seen, okay, well, we're on the power play. We got to put Leon and Connor out. We need a goal or two. We got to put Leon and Connor out. It's a late game situation. We got to put Leon and Connor out. And oh, by the way, they're probably going to start overtime. No, look, of course they're going to play a lot. But I think specifically for that situation late in the game, hopefully there are some other options for Edmonton this season. If you need a right-hand face-off guy, maybe, you know, Derek Ryan can go out. Maybe Zach Hyman's going to be on the ice to check and help in those areas as well. And I know what Tippett said. Hey, they want to do it. They want to say, okay, I'm not just going to be the guy on the ice when we need a goal. I want to be out there when we prevent a goal as well. But if you talk about shaving some minutes off Draisaitl and McDavid, so maybe they stay fresher a little longer, or you have some other guys bearing the weight of the team, I look at that as one situation. Okay, you're trying to preserve a one-goal lead in the last 45 seconds. Maybe you don't have to put those guys out all the time, or there can be another shift. So just something to consider there. And hopefully the Oilers, I mean, look, they do look like they should have more forward depth up front than they have in a long time. And as I referenced earlier this week, to me the forward depth is not just the offense. It's not just who's going to put the puck in the net. It's checking in defensive depth and face-off depth as well. So there's a storyline there. Now, as we saw the top six deployed so far in training camp, McDavid centering Hyman and Jesse Puljujärvi, Draisaitl centering Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Kyler Yamamoto. We have seen in recent seasons Draisaitl and McDavid sometimes be on the same line, sometimes not. But as we saw this past season, when it got to crunch time, when it got to the postseason, and the Oilers needed wins and needed to keep their season going, Draisaitl and McDavid were on the same line. And I still think that, you know, internally the Oilers would say, if we're going to be a true contending team, we got to split those guys up and we got to have two strong lines. So how's it going to go, Tip? How are you going to use these guys, together or apart?
We're going to try, you know, a number of different things in training camp just to see how it goes. But, you know, you don't have to watch a lot of hockey to understand when they're together, it's pretty special. But that being said, we need to find more balance in our lineup. So there'll be times when for the most part they're apart, but then there'd be times the power play they play together. There's certain times in a game where I'll find some time for them together, and I think they kind of like it that way. You know, at the end of the year last year, I talked to both of them about, you know, together or apart, and we said we'd reconvene and talk in training camp. But they like having the ability to jump together, but they both want to take the responsibility and making us a more balanced team also. So we'll just kind of see how it goes. Game to game situations, you know. It's a nice card to have in your pocket if you need it. You know.
Yeah, it is a great card to have in the pocket. Here's how I look at it, and here's how Zach Hyman hopefully is going to help. And there is no doubt that if Draisaitl and McDavid are on the ice at the same time, they're the deadliest duo in the National Hockey League. I absolutely believe that. And as we have seen over the last couple of years, even longer, sometimes Draisaitl and McDavid playing 22, 23 minutes a game, 25 minutes a game, can win a hockey game, even if the Oilers are minus the other 35 minutes of the game. But, you know, we also saw a lot of nights where it's like, okay, those guys play awesome, but then other teams are thinking, all right, even if we lose the McDavid-Draisaitl shifts, 1-0 or 2-0, we think we can beat the Oilers' other 9 forwards and the other guys by 3 or more. Hang on. You know, if you're the opponent, hang on while McDavid and Draisaitl are on the ice. You might lose the matchup. Don't lose it by too much and win the game in the other 35 to 40 minutes. I think the advantage of, you know, hopefully Hyman and hopefully Yamamoto and hopefully Puljujarvi, if that forms the top six, the top two lines along with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, well, then you have other teams saying, oh, man, that is so tough to take on that McDavid line for 20 minutes. Oh, and then we got to stop the Draisaitl line for 20 minutes, and then they're going to be on the power play for 4 to 6 minutes. So then the window of opportunity for the Oilers to have better players on the ice almost doubles if you split those guys up and they have competent line mates who can contribute offensively. And what's, you know, two years ago, when Draisaitl, Nugent-Hopkins, and Yamamoto got put together, one of the storylines was, well, now that line is going well, and now McDavid has nobody to play with. So that's what the Oilers are hoping. That's why I think for the long-term success, still, it's better that those guys are apart most of the time. And then, as Tippett said, it's a nice card to have in your pocket. Late-game situations, late in the period, after the icing, maybe you put them out together, but maybe you're picking your spots as opposed to feeling like, well, nothing else is working, so I guess I got to put Leon and Connor on the ice again. Okay, we got a lot to get to today. Like I said, some pretty interesting thoughts from Tyler Benson and Kyle Turris today as they're pushing for significant spots here on the Oilers. You can chime in at 780-496-0063. It's Inside Sports. All right, so some players trying to contribute here, do a little more than they did last year for the Oilers, and one of those for sure, Kyler Yamamoto. He said he spent the summer working on his shot so he can finish a little more. Here's Dave Tippett on those opportunities.
That was one thing we talked about at the end of the year, and talked to him through the summer a little bit. He told me his dad built a shooting ramp for him in the backyard. He's been shooting all summer, so we'll see. Hopefully he takes that to heart. I think sometimes playing with Leon and Connor, he defers that shot a lot of times and wants to pass before a shoot. But he's got to be a guy that, you know, he, he has to be a little more selfish at times and take the puck to the net, find pucks around the net. He's got not a bad little release in tight there, but he's got to use it a little more. So that was the message to him at the end of last year, and hopefully he comes in and takes that message. I know he's practiced it a lot. We'll see if he uses it a lot, coming up here.
All right, Kailer Yamamoto, exciting player. Still kind of finding out who he's going to be here for the Oilers, but as it shakes down right now, it looks like he'll get a chance here in the top six as we move through the preseason. The Oilers will scrimmage again tomorrow, and those big names that didn't take part today are expected to play in that one. Speaking of a big name, my goodness, we got Bob Stauffer coming up after the news and weather. Taking you into the weekend, Sunday night at 7. It's the Oilers at the Flames. First preseason game for Edmonton. 5:30 is the start time for the faceoff show here on 630 CHED. Elks back at practice today. The Elks will play in Ottawa on Tuesday. The game's on Kissin' Country 103.9, and we'll have the Oilers and the Kraken here on 630 CHED. Tomorrow at Foote Field, the U of A Golden Bears football team, who had a pretty exciting season in 2019, the last time they played, they start their season tomorrow, 1 o'clock Foote Field against UBC. Head coach Chris Morris will join us a little bit later on Inside Sports. Golden Bears hockey playing Calgary tonight. That continues to be preseason action for the Golden Bears. CFL tonight, 2 minutes left in the first half. Montreal leading Toronto 10-7. Later, it's Saskatchewan at BC. And keeping an eye on that playoff chase for the Blue Jays. Well, the Yankees all over the Red Sox tonight. It is 7-0 for the Yankees at Fenway. Now into the top of the fourth, and the Blue Jays are playing the Minnesota Twins, and that one's in the top of the second, and a scoreless tie. The Jays are one game behind the Yankees for the second wild card spot, 3 games behind Boston, who have the first of the two wild card positions. Quick update there, some of the headlines in the world of sports today. And I am pleased to welcome back to the program the host of the excellent Oilers Now, every day noon to 2 here on 630 CHED. It's my good buddy Bob Stauffer. Hey, Bob, what's going on, man?
I'm just sitting outside the parking lot at Claire Drake Arena Reed, so I'm going to make it 3 Fridays in a row into the building to go watch the Bears play. And then we're going to go watch Chris's team play tomorrow for the start of the season after you and me are down at Rogers Place for the practice and Oilers scrimmage tomorrow. I'm going to sneak off to go see the Golden Bears football program. I got a couple real good players there that are expected to be higher up into the upcoming CFL draft. And then I'm going to watch Alabama. They're on TSN tomorrow at 5:30. So it's going to be a good sports weekend before we get going with our game on Sunday, the Oilers and the Flames.
Now, who is out? Because as you know, Bob, I have a very casual interest in college football. I'm nowhere near into it like you are. I mean, I love the NFL. I love the CFL. The college teams, I once it gets down towards near the end, I'm like, okay, these are the good teams, and they're going to play off. So who is Alabama playing tomorrow?
They're playing Southern Mississippi, and there was a pretty good quarterback that came out of Southern Mississippi that played for the Packers for a long time. So he was originally with the Atlanta Falcons, so you can figure out who that is.
Number 4, Brett Favre.
Yes, yes. He was in something about Mary, wasn't he? Anyhow, we discussed this last week, Reed, that Alabama was going to play Florida. I think they had 8 or 10 million people watching that game down in the States. They got a game. I mean, it was 31-29. We were finishing watching that game as we were getting ready for the Oilers rookie broadcast of the Flames. It's, the Southeast, football in the Southeast is like hockey in Canada, except multiply it by about 3, just because there's the engagement level and the cross section that they have of their student bodies. And I will say this, the last few years I've noticed there's been way more students coming out before we got shut down for the pandemic at the university, similar to maybe to read what it was like around the late 80s, early 90s at the U of A when they had a more of a presence at the games. And so it's quite the experience, and it's easy to become a fan of it. And you're, when you're watching Alabama, you're watching a school that's produced more NFL players than any other program in the last decade. You know, they've had about, off the top of my head, about 30 first-round picks over the last 6 or 7 years. It's pretty spectacular players to watch.
The early 90s is when I attended the U of A, and I went to many U of A Golden Bears games and continued through the 90s. Obviously, once I moved to Lloydminster, I didn't see nearly as many games. But when I was going in the 90s, sometimes a group of people in the stands were even more entertaining than the action on the ice. And those were the folks from St. Joe's College, was that what it's called?
Yep.
Who would come out and provide a lot of the heckling and off-ice entertainment directed at the opposing team. And when I've gone to games in recent years, I think there was one Saskatchewan Huskies game where there were maybe 10 of them, but generally that I think that died. I wouldn't mind if that came back. That was a fun tradition, those St. Joe's guys getting out there and getting on the other team.
They were big supporters of Derek Ryan when he played at the U of A from 2008 to about 2000. And I guess his last year would have been the 07, 08, 08, 09, 09, 10, 10, 11 season was his last year. And I know that that current owner who you saw today, he had quite the following. I think for at least one of the years that he was here, he lived there when he came out from Spokane. So I know they had a chant for Derek Ryan. And so, no, that's, you know, it's like Reed. I can tell you in 1990, there were fans scalping tickets to Golden Bear Calgary's hockey games outside the arena. So it's hard to believe. I think one of the things that happened is the passion for the Oilers became greater. And the Oilers did such a great job marketing. And, you know, they would do things like have signs in, right in front of the Butterdome, as an example, along 114th Street, you know. So, and I know it's from hosting a show since 2000 and the 02-03 season. Like, you can never talk enough about the Edmonton Oilers, which we've not done in the first 6 or 7 minutes. Like, people want to hear about it all the time. There's that level of passion. Just look at the Twitter follows for guys like you and me and, you know, Jack, and compare that to, you know, Calgary as an example. Like, it's a night and day difference, and it's a reflection upon the strength of the brand, but also the buy-in and the passion that the fans have for the hockey team here in Edmonton.
Well, Bob, I'll tell you this. If you and I stuck to one topic for the entire time we were on air together, that would be a new record, because we tend to meander, but that's why I enjoy having you on the show, because we do tend to bounce all over the place. But look, I focused in the first half hour of the show on McDavid and Draisaitl, and if you talk about, well, people can't get enough Oilers talk, I think within that, they can't get enough McDavid and Draisaitl talk. Tip gave a great clip today about whether or not they're going to play together or apart. He said that it's a great card to have in his pocket, that if they're not together, he can always throw them together. I still think ultimately, and hey, they are dynamite obviously together, and they're going to be on the power play together, and they'll probably start overtime together, but maybe we'll see how that goes with some of the other guys they have to play 3-on-3. The way I look at it as, if McDavid and Draisaitl are together, other teams know, all right, we might not have the puck much for the 22 to 25 minutes these two guys are on the ice. And even if we lose that section of the game by a goal or two, we might be able to win the other 35 minutes by two or three goals, because the Oilers haven't had a lot of depth. If McDavid and Draisaitl have sufficient wingers, which it appears they should have, you know, more than they've ever had this year, well, now McDavid and Draisaitl play 40 to 45 minutes combined, and then that leaves the window of opportunity maybe down to 15 to 18 minutes for that other team to take advantage of the Oilers' third and fourth lines, which, oh, by the way, might be better than they have been in the past as well.
Yeah, I do think, Reed, you're going to see at times Nugent Hopkins in that playoff series against Winnipeg, specifically the final two games, played pretty well with Zach Cassian on his right wing, and I could see Hyman playing there at times if the Oilers elect to go with that super nuclear option with McDavid, Draisaitl, and yes, a Puljujärvi. To me, Zach Hyman is absolutely critical. I think he's going to have a huge year. He has a relentless work ethic. He wanted solely to come to Edmonton if he couldn't get Toronto done. This is a player, and this is one I know I mentioned it on my show a couple times. For all the criticism the current University of Saskatchewan head coach Mike Babcock got during his tenure in Toronto, and some of it was self-induced. Mike, some would interpret, is not a humble man. He's strong opinion, strong-willed, but he loves Zach Hyman. And for me, when the Oilers played those three games against Toronto, you were in the building. Zach Hyman was the best player on the ice. Mm-hmm. On the ice in a game in which the Leafs had, you know, Austin Matthews missed, I think, one or two of those games. But the Leafs have got Matthews. The Leafs have got Tavares and Nylander and Marner. And for me, Hyman was the guy I noticed the most. The Oilers, McDavid and Draisaitl. And I think Hyman's going to change the balance of things. It's funny. You know, I do talk to different people in the organization, and Brad Holland was sort of the guy who, you know, educated me, not so much on Hyman. That was a pretty easy sell after what I saw in February, but on Fogle and thinking that there was more game to give with Fogle. So I think Edmonton's a completely different team up front. I think they're a way deeper team. Dom Lucicien has started to put out his rankings for top 32 teams in the NHL up in the Athletic. It would not surprise me if Edmonton's in the top eight based on his model, which is heavily based on analytics, not necessarily on gut feel. I'm quite confident what Edmonton can roll out in their top nine. You saw it today when they had Fogle with Derek Ryan and Kyler Yamamoto. And part of me was, I know Jack brought it up, and I know Louis brought it up on today's show, and we're sitting there going, that line was pretty good together. Well, you know what? We all assume Hyman's going to play with McDavid and Puljujärvi, but if you do play Hyman with Nugent Hopkins and Cassian, you know, you can create some different looks. So the Oilers are way deeper at forward, plus Puljujärvi and Yamamoto are way more mature. Reed, how about this? You and me sat here at the start 3 years ago, the start of the 18-19 season. You know, what can Ty Ratty do this year?
Right.
Is Kyler Yamamoto ready to take the next step? What about Jesse Puljujärvi? Well, those three guys combined for 9 goals. And fortunately, they brought Chiasson in on a PTO. He got 22, and Cassian got 15. But they got 9 goals out of guys that started the year as their top three right wings.
Well, I think they got more than 9 combined in the preseason because they scored almost every goal in the preseason that year, remember?
Right. And so now, translate that to the here and now, Puljujärvi has taken a quantum step forward. I know I asked Connor about it because Connor doesn't like talking about himself, and he really doesn't like talking about social issues or personal things because he's guarded, right? But he will talk about his teammates. And his teammates have to have been in shock with Puljujärvi last year because I swear it was like the invasion of the body snatchers. Like he came back and it was like, that's not Jesse Puljujärvi that we're watching. He doesn't even play like the guy that was here before. He's playing, you know, he's all in, he's engaged, he's first in on the puck, he's knocking guys off the puck, he's forechecking with reckless abandon, and then he's backtracking on pucks and supporting the play defensively. That wasn't who was here before, right? The guy that was here before was perimeter and waiting to get set up for a shot. And so we know Puljujärvi is going to grow. We know Yamamoto is going to grow. The guess is Cassian's probably going to bounce back on the right side. Archibald, okay, that's another question. We'll see what happens there. But they've got other guys that can potentially replace that. But it's the left side that's way better. Way better with the additions. We know for sure with Hyman and Fogle. And then what about Benson?
Yeah, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about Benson later on. And it's interesting, too, how Shore has been used and how McLeod has been used so far. I mean, I wonder if Shore is ultimately going to be a center like he's lined up so far in training camp. I don't know if that's going to be the case. Maybe we'll get some more information at the scrimmage tomorrow or in the preseason game on Saturday. Bob, quickly before I know you got to go to the rink. Evan Bouchard, and I said this on my show last night, they are not downplaying expectations for Evan Bouchard. I mean, Ken Holland has said it. His teammates have praised him. Dave Tippett called Evan Bouchard an X factor for the team and somebody he thinks they're going to rely on. They're not treating him like, okay, he's never really been a full-time NHLer. Let's see what he's going to do. They're treating him like, you know, here you go, Evan Bouchard. You're ready to go. You look ready to go. You got to grab it. It's an interesting approach because a lot of times coaches try to shelter younger players, even if they're into their early 20s like Evan, but he hasn't played a ton. But they clearly are very confident in Bouchard coming into this season.
Well, I know we got a lot of fans that think that Ethan Bear walked on water. And we have other fans that were probably too critical at times of Ethan Bear. It was somewhere in between the middle. But for me, Evan Bouchard should have been playing more last year. And the one thing I will say, you know why Ethan Bear got his nose out from everybody else 2 years ago. He reported in the best shape. The 4 years he was in Edmonton, the condition he was in the best at was at the start of the 1920 season. And the first time that Dave Tippett and Jim Playfair saw him was the captain's skates, and he looked terrific. Well, guess what? Guesses look terrific this summer. Mm-hmm. Evan Bouchard, right? And he came in early in Edmonton, and Leon Draisaitl said today he looks like he belongs. Reed, I'm going to say it right now. By the 30-game mark, Evan Bouchard's going to be pushing for top four ice time, and there is a chance towards the end of the year he's going to be Darnell Nurse's full-time partner. And then if the Oilers are behind, they'll play Barrymore on the right side, and if they're ahead, they'll play CeCe Moore. I'm not confident of where Evan Bouchard's going to go.
Well, I mean, if that happens, Bob, that would be amazing. That's an optimistic prediction. I hope it happens, man. That's some good stuff. Hey, I'll see you for the scrimmage. Thanks for checking in, because I know you're getting into the game, man. I really appreciate it. We'll talk tomorrow, okay?
Awesome, Ray. Take care. Bye-bye.
That is Bob Stauffer checking in. Well, he's high on Evan Bouchard as well. So I hope he does it. I think Evan Bouchard, for me, tons of potential. There's no doubt when the puck's on his stick, he is excellent. He can shoot. He can pass. It's going to come down for Bouchard handling the cycle, breaking up the cycle, handling the physical play, puck retrieval, things like that. But as Bob said, they've been watching him in the captain's skates. They know he's done some work, and hopefully now that is going to show itself very quickly. What did we have here? Toronto got a long bomb touchdown, 55 yards, with 9 seconds left in the first half. So the Argos lead the Alouettes 21-10 now at halftime. Back in a couple of minutes, Inside Sports on Chet. Just want to pass along a quick traffic note here. Got a text from former D-man Mark about a collision on the corner of 111th Street and the White Mud westbound access ramp. So if you're in that area, corner of 111th Street and the White Mud westbound access ramp, apparently some sort of a collision between a motorcycle and a car. Hopefully everybody is okay, but I imagine you can expect some delays in that area. 111th Street and the White Mud westbound access ramp. Thanks to Mark for sending in that traffic tip. Okay, 6:55. Reed Wilkins with you inside sports on 6:30. Ched, we'll continue with the Oilers chat in the next hour of the show. We'll talk about some U of A football, and we'll bring aboard a new member. Well, I guess they're all new members, but a recently hired member of the Seattle Kraken broadcast crew. Pretty cool story there, and we'll talk a little bit about the Kraken training camp, who the Oilers are going to play in preseason action on Tuesday. Of course, Evan Bouchard, a hot topic. Bob and I were talking about him. High expectations for him on the Oilers' blue line, and Leon Draisaitl says, Bouchard's getting a lot better.
It's the mental side of it, right? The way he carries himself in the dressing room, it's like he belongs on this team. Like, it's his time to make this team and crack the opening lineup and make an impact and not just, you know, be a guy that is in and out of the lineup. He's going to be a guy that will be in the lineup, and we're going to look for him to produce offense and you know, speed up our game in all different aspects. So he looks very good. Great kid. So excited for him.
Evan Bouchard has been paired with Slater Cuckoo through training camp. We'll see how they look tomorrow at the scrimmage, and then the lineup on Sunday in Calgary. I mean, we'll see for that. We'll know a little bit more Sunday morning. I would assume some of the players who are only going to get into one preseason game before going back to junior or going to Bakersfield, many of those players I would think are going to play either Sunday or on Tuesday against the Seattle Kraken. Okay, we got to call a quick timeout. 7 o'clock news and weather coming up on Chet.
630 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.